Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely beautiful. Hi, everybody. This is Liquid Damage. Welcome you to the Liquid Damage Lounge with my friends AP and Hatter. Hi, guys.
Hi, man.
How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm fine. Looking for a beer.
And I'm good. I'm very happy to be home. With the damage, I'm very happy to be home. I've been away in Sydney half the week. And
well, we're glad you're home, too.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
So how long are you in Sydney for?
How long was I in Sydney for, Hatter?
Yeah, how long?
About 3 days. Wednesday, Thursday, most of Friday.
Oh, okay. Is Sydney a very big? Is Sydney big? A big city compared to other like New York or Miami or?
Well, yeah. Look, there's some really huge American cities.
I know. After I said that, I realized what I just said. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like.
But
you know, New York's like huge. You know, it's massive.
Like Houston maybe, or
okay, Okay, well, let me have a quick look. Just excuse me for a tick. Liquid Damage, if I've got Hatter asking me specific questions here.
Oh, I'm...
no, that's cool. We like to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, Houston, Greater Houston, it's got about 2.5 million people in it, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah? So, yeah. But Sydney's got 4.5. So Sydney's about twice the size of Houston.
Now, as far as, as far as the skyline...
Yep.
What would you consider it comparable to any certain large city in the United States, or is it more spread out, not so high, and it doesn't have the skyscrapers?
American cities are far higher, because they make better use of space. Yeah. So Australian cities are lower, but they're quite just they're quite different, really. Actually, I can't think of a American city that sort of looks like Sydney. Other people can probably make up their own minds, but I sort of think Auckland and Sydney look more similar than anything else.
Yeah, it's I've been Google Earthing it. I've gone to Melbourne several times, but Sydney I haven't gone over there yet. Check it out. That's what I'm asking.
Well, you need to check it out. Sydney's a lovely city.
I always figured that it would look something like Phoenix, Arizona.
There you go.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
because it's a beautiful city, but the outlying is kind of deserty.
Yes.
But that's just how I had always pictured it.
Not kind of. It is deserty.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I've put up a couple of the centre of Sydney on the board. Yeah.
By the time I get there, I'm going to know all about. I love Melbourne, downtown.
But we did a cruise, Liquid Damage, and we were on the harbour for about an hour or so, and then we went down to where the ferry sort of stopped. In front of the bridge there, and then just walked up to this cafe that was on the roof of this old building, and we had a dinner up there. So it was a lovely night.
So is that the Sydney River?
Sorry, Hatter?
What river dumps in there?
That's actually Sydney Harbour. That's Sydney Harbour. Very deep.
Oh, you don't have a river? Okay.
Natural Harbour,
sounds like a beautiful trip.
Russian out there very violently.
How do I miss that?
Like in San Francisco Bay, it narrows down to where Golden Gate is, and it's very violent and very swift and fast. Deceivingly so. I just wondering if the Sydney Harbour has the same.
Where the bridge is? Yeah, no, look, it has a bit of chop because that's where the ferries go backwards and forwards, but it's not. I have been under the Golden Gate Bridge and it's nothing like that. The Golden Gate Bridge is far more, you know, lots of currents, cross cut and all that stuff. The Sydney Harbour Bridge doesn't, and around there is nowhere near that. No.
Okay. All right.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Please, it's your show.
I'd like to welcome Francine, my friend Francine, to the show. Hi, Francine.
Hi. Hi, Linda.
How are you? This is AP and Hatter.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Francine.
Nice to meet you both.
So I'm glad you got my message in time.
Yes. I got in a little earlier tonight. Still not on time, though.
That's good. We're just
getting better.
And AP's been on a trip in Australia today, and he just got home, and he's been telling us about the trip. It's kind of cool. And then Hatter's here, and we're asking a bunch of questions. So yeah.
Very cool.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Hey, thank you.
So, maybe.
I'm trying to find.
Oh,
let me see.
So the biggest DIY shift of 2018 was how to make slime. Looking forward to
the Oh, my granddaughter was a big slime bug.
What do we do with all this slime?
Yes, very good.
I don't know about you, but I went crazy with slime, and we were selling it at the park. I was working with this little girl, and we had every type of slime makeup you can. We made snow slime and slime, and I was making up our own recipes. Oh, I made up our own recipes. I was using hair gel, and it was making it super slimy. And we just went crazy. I was buying glue by the gallons and snow, instant snow, and it was so fun.
Aww.
Did you get into the slime, AP?
Nowhere near to that degree. Liquid damage? No. I mean, we all had slime, but I didn't get into the slime manufacturing process, you know, which it sounds like
I had my art studio transformed over into a manufacturing area for slime for about 6 months. And
wow.
And we just, every day after she got out of school, it was slime, slime, slime. And we got all kinds of cute little packaging and she was selling it at school, and I was selling it at the park, and we didn't make a lot of money, but just that we made a little was kind of cool.
Yeah,
but just think about the tax deductions, liquid damage. I mean, you probably didn't make much money out of it. The tax deductions.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Very cute. Oh, my goodness. Okay, how does our solar system keep its pants on?
By the belt, something belt. By the Kuiper belt.
With an asteroid belt. Very good.
Very close.
Yeah.
You get half points for that.
That's a cute one.
Half point? Okay.
Very good. Well, let's see. How about some poetry?
I'm looking in my
vault. Oh, is that what we're doing here?
Yes. Well, yeah. No, not really.
What do we got? Do you have the folder, Hatter?
I have a folder, yeah. Of what? Of my stuff?
Of
the big folder.
Of the poetry tonight.
I don't have it. I've got it.
So AP does?
You have it, AP?
I've got it. I've got it in front of me. Yeah, it's in front of me.
Oh, I see some.
I know. Phil sent one in, and then a new friend. And do you put one in, Francine?
Definitely sent one in. No, I'm going to put one in. I'll put one in.
Okay.
Good.
I'll put one up, whatever.
Go ahead and pop one in and...
Okay, it's up. You got it? Tsunami?
And then a new friend of ours, the Marksman, sent one over, but he needs a reader. So
have we got him, Linda? Because Deb was concerned about us not having email permission for him.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You know, I don't know. How would I find out?
I don't. Well, I had a look up a few minutes ago, and I didn't see any permissions from him to read. So we'd need to get that first before we can put that on air.
Okay. Let me jump over and... Here he goes. I'm going to pop him a note.
Yeah, just send him a quick note. It's up on the board of a team of voices. It's pretty easy to do, just copy and paste.
And then you have it on the board. It says we must have your email permission to use on file.
No. People can do on the board without. People can do it without that.
That's the permission.
No, how does he do it?
Yeah.
How does he do it? How does he get permission? Give permission?
Well, you got to give her send him an email with written permission.
I'll send you the link, Linda.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I'll send you the link. Yeah.
21. Okay, I put one in the show on the show page there.
What did I just do?
Oh. Funky phone.
Yeah, okay. I don't see it.
No, I put it on the show page, not the chat line, chat raw. Well,
so what should I tell him?
You're looking for something else. Never mind. I'm sorry.
I've sent you the words that need to be used in an email with the link to the email address, Linda.
As I said, we need your permission. Send email with permission to...
Yeah, that's it.
It's an AP rule, not a group rule.
I remember filling out something or writing something about that permission.
It's something we all have to do as of the last year or two on all poetry. Yeah.
Mhm. Okay, so can you read me the link?
Sorry, Linda.
Can you read me the link?
Which
link?
I sent you an IM with the words that the poet needs to use. Just copy that in an email to him or a message to him.
Okay, I'm not understanding.
Okay, so I've sent you a message, Linda, and that includes two different things that we need to use. Either the marksman will give us permission to read one particular poem, and so he comes back and says, I, blah, 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 give you permission to read this particular poem, and that's wording for that. Or there's another set of wording that says, you and a team of voices can read any of my poems that you like as long as you wish to. You know, so there's two sets of wordings that I've sent you.
But where did you send it to?
To a message on All Poetry, to an individual message to you on All Poetry.
So I'd have to go on my
All Poetry.
Yeah, you're
All Poetry. Yeah,
because
your inbox.
In the inbox there.
Inbox.
Yeah.
Because I'm not seeing any.
It's not always quick telling you that there's one there.
Remember, you're in you know, far north, and I'm in the far south, and so somewhere, you know, the message is probably winging its way somewhere between two of us.
Yeah. Message is flying through space at the moment.
That's right. Exactly right. Like swans. Except probably slower.
Yeah, I see it.
Well, you guys
will
figure that out. I could read my poem.
You can read your poem. You could do that.
You don't have to listen and pay attention and comment, so you can continue working what you need out.
Now, do you have a link on the page so I could read it with you? I mean, you know, follow?
Yes, I'm putting it up there.
Okay.
Excellent.
I put mine up.
Oh.
good news, Heather.
Did I put it up? Or did I put it on? I might have sent it to Deborah by mistake.
I don't see it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on the group page right now.
Put it up on there for you.
Stay on the chat line there. I'll get it. That's right there.
I've got it. It's up there now.
It is?
Oh, yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one from way back in the vault.
What's the
Endless
name of
Color
it?
Game. Endless Color Game.
I don't have it.
Refresh
it. The chat group page line.
Chat. Let me see if there's another page for this.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the group page. That's where I think I am. Team of Voices presents Liquid Damage.
Yeah.
On that page?
Yep.
What's the last thing you see?
The last thing I see, Deborah Lee. Bill and Frank's recordings are at the top of your studio. Have a great show.
Oh, you're on the page. Yeah.
And then the last one was Phil the Poet, and then there's mine. I don't see yours.
Okay. So if from there... Just right up the top of the page there, Francine, can you see in coloured in, just above Liquid Damage's image and name, a thing called a Team of Voices? Can you click on that?
Yes.
If you click on that, it will then take you to the main board, and you should be able to see Hatter's links on that board.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm missing. Now, where do I click on? There's not... I see Team of Voices. Okay. And Hatter's links. Let me find that. I think I'm on the page now.
Yeah.
Right down the
bottom. Hatter, Endless Color. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I have it.
Ooh, pretty.
That is pretty.
AP, you want to read it?
I can read it for you. By Jay Hatter from a long, long, long time ago, Hatter. 7 years ago. Holy moly. This is Endless Color Game. And it goes a bit like this. To face the hues that paint the days, tinting skies at night, wailing blues sweet sorrow plays, bathed in blinding light. The bleeding reds that fill the holes we wade without a thought, ruby shoes with tethered souls detecting loveless knots. Distorted sounds now set ablaze, explode on prism walls, darkened shadows in weathered greys feeding on rainbow falls. Water spills a brown-laced gin washed into the sea, glasses full of yellow sin placed in front of me. Pray the purple state of mind blackens above the flame, turquoise seals for them to find in an endless colour game. End poem.
Oh, I love it.
Wow. That is Hatter-esque
really cool.
To the T. Hatter, beautifully done. I just love this. But I love all your stuff. You're an amazing poet, and this shows the poetic language is so eloquent, and I just love your verses. They're just beautiful. And the imagery here is colorful, and I like the water spills of brown lace gin washed into the sea, glasses full of yellow sin placed in front of me.
That is just beautiful.
Yeah. Pray the purple state of mind blackens above the flame, turquoise seals from them to find in an endless color game. The color in this is just beautiful. And I don't know if you were there when we were talking to Deb about the color bank, and she was saying how when you put the color into the poem, it makes people visualize more. And she's right, because this is very visual. But I loved it. Let me get you some more comments. Francine, you liked it.
Oh, I loved it too. Yes, I did. I was saying beautiful while he was reading it.
because I couldn't control myself. It was really great. I liked it from beginning to end. I loved the wording. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The hues that paint the days, tinting skies at night, wailing blues, sweet sorrow plays, bathing in blinding light. That is just amazing to me. It's just so poetic and beautiful. I love the wording. And the bleeding reds that fill the holes. I mean, that's the image. It was just great. You know, at first I was picturing a paintball game with, like, distant splashes of color going, but then I saw that you were actually placing them into certain things, like the same verse that Linda just spoke of, glasses full of yellow spin placed in front of me. So perfectly placed. I mean, yellow spin. I love the wording there. Just great. I enjoyed this very much.
Thank you. I actually remember writing this and thinking that I had lost it. I lost the any form of meaning. So I tried to wrap it up with as best I could with the
colors.
I
don't think it lost anything. I mean, really, it sounds like it was purposely placed. The words were so perfectly done that it just seems like everything was just on target.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like you lost anything at all.
Oh, thank you. But 7 years ago, I struggled a lot more. I struggled a lot more to write. But,
you couldn't tell.
Turquoise
is
my favorite color, so I really like the ending. I like that turquoise got in there.
Well, I'm quite fond of turquoise as well.
It's one of my favorites. Turquoises and yellows I like. The turquoise is my birthstone, so I have to favor it.
Well, it's got a beautiful ABAB rhythm going on, good damage, and the rhymer, I'm very fond of that. I suspect that, I don't know why, but it's almost like I feel that Hatter got to Rainbow Falls and then he wondered what he was going to do. And then he very cleverly went back to the water. But I suspect that's where Hatter stopped. I reckon he got three verses in and he thought, this is really cool, but now what do I do? But that's just me.
That's exactly right. I go, I used the word rainbow. Oh, my God, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Yep.
I
know
you
too well.
I
didn't want people to think that when I look around, all I see is unicorns and rainbows.
I know that. I know exactly where you put it. You were going to go Alice in Wonderland on us, but anyway, there you go. Yeah, you recovered beautifully, Adam.
Thanks.
Great.
Was there any significance to the watch that was on the picture?
What about it?
The pocket watch. Was there part of the poem that was, like, significant to the watch? Because I didn't get that.
Not really. It's a small copying off a bigger picture. And I've used it for my background on All Poetry for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I just can't
see it all the time using my phone as much as I do.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is a cool picture, though.
Okay. Well, that was lovely, Hatter.
Thank you.
How about we move on? How about if we have a SoundCloud for Phil?
We do.
Yes. He did say that he sent one in. Or I think I saw it on the other page.
Yeah. Right. So, did you want me to load that up, or are you going to load that up, Linda? What did you want to do?
Can you load that up? I just saw the picture of your trip, your journey with the bridge. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's cool. That was cool. Oh, it's got a lovely harbor, Sydney. You know, it's a bit hard to take a coffee.
How is that a natural harbor? Is it volcanic? what makes it?
That's a bloody good question, Hatter, and I've got absolutely no idea. I can't tell you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know. I wish I did, but I don't.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Thank you. You can tell me.
I know. Why should I think you should know?
No, I should, but I don't. It could be a whole heap of dragons sticking it out.
It's like me saying, "Hey, when it was when you were all Pangea,
it's bloody old, you know. It's bloody great big hole there, it's bloody great big hole, you know, all of that."
That's back in the day.
Yeah. Now I don't think the only way I can activate this is if I call in as a host. Have you called in as a host, Liquid Damage?
Yeah.
You should see the audio clips up there. Oh, there's somebody on hold, too.
Oh, let me see.
She's on hold.
Get over back to the studio. Hello, caller. Who's calling?
Hello there. Do you not recognize this voice by now?
Frank!
I don't know. You have so many.
Hello there. Oh, no, there's a new point of me there. I just thought I'd call in for a bit, hang out for a bit there, and just to say hello to everyone there.
Good to see you, Frank.
It's good to see you as well, my friend.
Cool. Glad you made it.
Now, Linda, so did you want me to play Phil's SoundCloud? And then Okay, let me just get Phil's palm and put it up on the board. Just make sure that I can do that. Hold on. Bear with me. Just two ticks, and I'll get his palm so people can read along with us. And because this is, he's got Winter Is Coming is the name of the poem. So it will be up on the board. Now
actually.
Yep. Now I'm going to go play his SoundCloud. Here we go.
Okay.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Winter Is Coming. Winter is coming dressed in pure white, where the day is overwhelmed by night, riding an ebony charger with icicle breath, frozen by the cold stare of approaching death. Frost-bitten fingers tapping upon the window, cyanostic features of azure begins to glow. The cold chills of Nietzsche's final dying breath shivers at the silent steps of approaching death. Laying like a fallen angel in the virgin snow, the world is empty except for a wingless crow, pecking at the glacier eyes of liquid summer, where the hail pelts the earth like a ravaged gunner. No one dares to tread the paths in the dark. All have forgotten the voice of the morning lark, lost in a world of self-doubt and bitter memories, or wandering amongst the ice-kissed cemeteries. Winter is coming, and the earth shivers to the core. The east wind blows, rattling the hinges of the door. For time has arrived for someone to take a final breath, tasting the bittersweet kiss of approaching death. End poem.
Wow. Phil is so cool. I like how he addresses the coming of winter as death. The death of summer and the sun and the fun and all that. The metaphor is really cool. But this is very, imagegenic, but I don't think that's a word. It's got great imagery of the crow with the wingless crow. And laying like a fallen angel in the virgin snow, the world is empty except for a wingless crow. pecking at the glacier eyes of liquid summer, while the hail pelts the earth like a ravaged gunner. And that we know here in Alaska very well. I live right across the bay from two glaciers, and they're beautiful in the winter when the snow starts covering them and they start building back up. They melted back this year somewhat, but so this death of winter is actually life for the glaciers in a way. It builds back their layers, but this is a beautiful poem, beautifully written by Phil, who is an amazing poet. Let me get him some more comments. Francine,
I liked it very much. Well, I read it literally. I read it like a story. The way I pictured it, there was someone that was sort of lost in the snow, and he's trying to get attention to somebody in the house, but he's so frozen, probably couldn't tap loud enough on the window, and he ends up falling. And let's see, nature's where it says about the angel laying like a fallen angel in the virgin snow. The world is empty except for a wingless crow pecking at the glacier eyes of liquid summer, while the hail pelts the earth like a ravaged gunner. I pictured that somebody actually lying in the snow and having like the snow just falling over them, and they just froze to death. That was the kind of image that I had throughout the poem, that it was somebody actually, I took it more literally, if you were talking metaphorically. I wasn't really looking at that. I was looking at the literal meaning. And I thought it was very deep and very, very sad, and how winter is a final dying of the year, maybe, or of the season. It's like the final season of the year, and it's just so dreary, and it winds up in a death. And then we have spring, which is a rebirth. But right now it's winter,
right,
that we're talking about. So really gloomy, and it's death and dreary and all of that all rolled into one. The imagery is beautiful in it, really beautiful.
Right on.
Dionostic features of the door begin to glow. Beautiful. But Phil's a wonderful poet.
Phil would. Yeah, he is. Amazing poet. I'm sure he would greatly appreciate your comment, Francine. Thank you for commenting.
Thank you.
AP, what did you think?
Well, Phil's a brilliant poet. I love his rhymes. You know, he really doesn't go for the simple rhymes. He goes for the complex rhymes, which I like. And but it being English, of course, you know, they have sort of a sort of quizzical and strange relationship with death. And I always go back to Monty Python and The Meaning of Life, which has a Grim Reaper in it. And they're all these people are all sitting around eating the dinner, and this Grim Reaper arrives, and they don't realize what's going on until the Grim Reaper says that you've all been poisoned by the salmon, and the host is really quite disturbed, and then they all disappear off into the darkness of night. And I couldn't help but think about that when I read his poem.
Great, great, great. Hatter, what did you think?
Hatter,
we lose him.
Are you talking?
Hatter?
Are you talking to your
fellow? I'm sorry, I had a copy fit, but yeah, I've always said that Phil. We'll put it this way: when the poetry war draft begins for the poetry wars, he's going first round Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope he's on my side. No, he does very well. I took it as it's the crow. He knows he needs to get
the
inside.
The wingless crow.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
He is now. Yeah. The tapping of the frostbitten fingers tapping upon the window, the way the bird peck at the window. I've seen it.
Yep.
Yeah, the silent steps of post death. Then the hail pelts the earth like a ravaged gunner.
I love that
pecking
line.
Pecking at the glacier.
Yeah.
It's good summer. The world is empty except for a wingless crow flying in the virgin snow. Very well done, man. Every time I think he can't get any better. Look what he does.
Yeah, he has a way with the rhymes for sure.
And he doesn't use,
I love his
and he
double.
He doesn't use the more common rhyming words. It's like he'll just lay that word out,
right.
And he'll find another. He'll find it to work. Which is
right.
Yeah.
We love you,
Phil.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the studio. Frank, would you like to do yours next? Oh, you have a SoundCloud.
No, if you, do you, yes, yes. Do you want me to comment on this poem here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to write you down, sweetheart.
I'm in the corner here. No trouble be. I'm used to being in the corner.
How did you end
there.
Up in the corner? That's not nice.
Here I invite you to the party and then forget about you.
It's a long,
and then you put him in the corner.
I just forgot to write your name down.
No,
and I was just writing your zip code down in my book so I know when you call and
It will perhaps fluctuate, you know, cause I go from place to place. But nevertheless, the poem itself was, I do agree with what Hatter was saying, you know, about the wingless crow. That imagery is very stark, you know. I do agree. Phil is an incredible poet, writer as well. He does, his imagery is always, I think, not only impeccable, but it's always an example of what his vision is of poetry as well. And the notion of winter is coming, you know, we tend to relate, you know, to winter in a negative sense, you know, sometimes. And when we do, we obviously think of, you know, depression, death, all the darkness of the aspects of winter being confined. And this really does epitomize to me that sense of what winter could be. You know, if you're out there just thinking, you know, being confined and, you know, and you're consciously aware of what goes around you, you know, your imagination, your creativity. I think you did a wonderful job with this, you know. I agree that the rhyming system is impeccable, but I like the imagery throughout. I thought it was just a fantastic write and a fantastic song club.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you for sharing that. Hey. And so would you like to do your poem next?
I can stay on until about 10 my time, which would be 17 minutes after. But if you've got Francine, by all means, and she called before I did, you can do
it. Oh, I don't mind you going. You could go first.
My
mind
is
half cropped.
I mean,
oh yeah.
Well, I would. It's up to you. I mean, I have no issues with that. I mean, I'd be honest with mine. There's a thumb cloud itself, you know. I don't know much more I can do. But it's whatever you prefer there, Linda, whatever you prefer. I still have, you know, some time. I can wait for her poem.
Okay.
You know, it makes no difference to me. You can do her
okay.
poem, and then
Christine,
I can do,
did you
want to
go?
Do mine afterwards.
I'll go, sure. I don't care. I put it up on the board.
You've got it.
Okay. The name of the poem is Tsunami. An asteroid was hurtling through the sky. Some pieces broke off in the troposphere. Most of it was intact as it drew nearer. People in the impact area filled with fear. The asteroid entered the Earth's atmosphere.
it would hit the South Atlantic Ocean somewhere. All along the east coast of South America waited in fear to see what happened when it finally hit there. As cameras rolled, the asteroid quickly appeared. A ball of fire hitting the ocean's depths disappeared. But from the impact, the ocean's floor reared, causing a tsunami 1,000 feet high, rushing here. The tidal wave hit South America's eastern shore, clearing many cities along its path, rushing raw. When its destruction was totally and completely done, all were shocked to find one black rose growing in the sun. End poem.
Wow, that gave me chills.
That was written 8 years
the
ago.
Ending, the ending was so compelling. And the imagery in this is fantastic, but your narrative is really good. This storytelling, I really liked it. I think you wrote it extremely well. Kind of like a news story, but with a poetic twist to it. You know, the ending is awesome, where all were shocked to find one black rose growing in the sun. That is just so, so good. But I loved it, Francine. Good.
Thank you.
Frank, would you like to comment?
Oh, by all means. I thought this was a really, really descriptive poem. You know, I was thinking about something about an asteroid that was in the news not too long ago, you know, one of these asteroids that was deflected there, you know, which could have hit the Earth, you know. So that just brought that memory to me there recently. I thought you did a fantastic job. I have to say the narrative was incredible there. The details provided here in this poem really almost seemed like I was watching a scene there from a film, I would say. And I thought you did a wonderful job of reading. I do enjoy the new, if I can say, I do believe you have a New York accent, though.
Yeah, Brooklyn, actually.
Yes, and I do, and I love New York accents. It's always just one of my favorite American accents, but you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Good
appreciate
comment.
That very much.
Hatter.
Yeah, I'll mute myself. This is the intro to the trailer of the disaster movie Asteroid. Coming to a theater near you. I mean, this would have fit.
Love that.
You know, just the end with this black rose. You know, the Earth is paying us back. Because if you think about it, all man has done is taken away from the Earth and ruined it in a lot of features and never gives back. I don't think so anymore. So we're sort of parasitic. And one of these days, the Earth is going to rid itself of its parasites and shake a little, and we're going to be gone.
Yep.
Shouldn't mess with Mother Nature.
That's for sure.
Yeah. It's amazing what they do. Wow. Complete and utter destruction. AP, what did you think?
Well, it got me thinking. Liquid Damage, which is a good thing, because there was news stories only a couple of days ago, because they found that the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago also created this massive tsunami. And so, you know, the dinosaurs were wiped out not just by the impact of the crater, but by this mile-high wave across much of the world. And so the really interesting thing about this is that, you know, this sort of happened. I'm glad it didn't happen right now, but it happened 66 million years ago. And it's like a description of that. It's really cool. I really liked it.
When they put their ears on, because they heard the ringing on the moon, and they wondered what it was, the vibration, what it was. It's from impact. Impacts of meteorites hitting, so they
yes.
they took the ears and put it within, so they listened to ourselves, the earth. And it does. There's a ring to it from being hit. And even the 65 million years ago, we're still ringing from it.
Making that. It's amazing.
There you go.
Something like
that. There you go.
Like a bell.
Well, I thought it was funny that today there was somebody that wrote me a note about this poem, and I didn't even remember writing it because it was so many years ago and haven't looked at it since. And he said, oh, it's such a wonderful poem. And I said, can I ask you where you saw it? So he said, yeah, it's on a list. They have lists on AP? I didn't even know it was on a list.
Yeah.
A list for
you
something that, yeah, I guess
create
so.
Your own list.
He found this poem on a list on AP somewhere. I said, oh, okay. I don't even know. I don't know how it got on a list, but anyway. I didn't put it there.
I thought someone placed the poem on the list, perhaps.
I have no idea.
It's on WordBank by Dark Enchant. Dark Enchant. You know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
No.
He's the one that's got you on the list.
Okay.
No, that was the contest. I'm sorry. That was the contest.
Oh, okay.
It's most likely somebody posted it.
I thought I'd read it
since
they haven't. I wrote it 8 years ago and forgot all about it. I said, oh, let me read it at least. See what it, how it sounds.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, Liquid Damage, we should get Frank on because I think you've only got about 10 minutes. Is that right, Frank?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh,
I mean, it's okay. I've just
so
got a gig
Frank
in the morning.
Yeah.
Just
a quick
little discretionary awareness here that I don't want to ram anyone's ears tonight at the end, okay? So I'm giving a discretionary warning there.
Warning.
Yeah.
Okay, so Liquid Damage, are you happy if I play the SoundCloud with the appropriate warning just given?
For Frank?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, righto. Here it comes. Duly warned.
Hang on, everybody.
The name of the premature
I
bear.
Suffer from an acute form of horrible lucidity called catalepsy. A death-like trance that is my crippling phobia to be buried alive. A condition that haunts me in my incessant phantoms of nightmares. A Stygian chamber visible, and my recurring fears and dubiety. Upon a somber day of this that I shall never forget its true terror. I'd awaken to discover my body in a casket of pitch darkness, all alone with no way to escape the suffocating lack of air. Listen, I began to gasp my fading breath. The sheer panic that seized me. I bolted on the casket open to free myself afterwards, screaming vociferously for someone to hear my desperate cry for help. But no one, not even a wandering soul, it had seemed, was listening. For I was, I thought, within the awful serpent's clutch of my dreadful death. The agonous minute had stalled to become evaporating seconds, and I was covered in the melting moisture of my profound sweat. My veins felt like bursting in my beating heart, thumbed, enthumbed. As the flight of madness had overtaken my gripping sanity, folding at the seams. I had attempted to make me believe this was only a surreal episode, even though death was consuming me inside its powerful hold, causing a sound of thunder roared with drops of rain striking the casket, and I took what I thought was to be my final breath of life upon the earth. Suddenly I had heard the pecking of a powerful beak of a creature who perforated a continuous hole that had been made thenceforth by the torn slivers of the wood in the whistling winds bustling fast. It was a lone sable raven that had stared into my bulging eyes. I was saved at last and clawed my way out to rise upon the soil. Yes, yes, alive! boundaries which divide life from death are at best shadowy and vague. Who shall say where one ends and where the other begins? In the poem.
Frank, you get me every time. This was awesome.
I didn't mean to blow those ears.
This
I'm sorry.
Totally awesome.
I apologize.
No, this couldn't have been better for Halloween coming up. You know,
we
have the horror in there. But you know, as
I
was reading through,
I added poem.
Yeah, as I was reading along with you, where is it? The agonist minutes had started to become evaporating seconds, and I was covered in the melting moisture of my profound sweat. My veins felt like bursting, and my beating heart thumped and thumped as the flight of madness had overtaken my gripping sanity, folding at the seams. That I could feel my lungs being drained of oxygen, and I could just, when you said thumped and thumped, it sounded like a heartbeat, not just words. You did that very well, just extraordinarily well. This poem is just so creepy and scary, and man. And I played it for my husband earlier, and he liked it too. And he doesn't like much poetry.
No, I appreciate
but,
that.
Yeah, he liked it. And he was asking, and he asked me to ask you, where are you from?
I'm from Spain.
Ah, okay.
It's a long story there, if you're asking me. I've been around so many places, and you have been in the world, so... It's one of these long stories of an actor.
Right. Well, that's okay. I was just wondering, you know. But you're such a good writer. I mean, it's just intense how good you are. And you get me at the end every time. I get that little jump and a little giggle, and I love that about your poetry. It gets me scared, but at the end, I always get that giggle, and I just love it so much. AP, what did you think?
Go ahead. Good. I'll comment afterwards, really quick before I go. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because we had this. Poe was actually wrote about a premature burial as a short story, and wrote about the fear of being buried alive many times. And we sort of had this happening here, except we had the savior of the piece being a bloody raven of all things, which is normally the symbol of death. And so it was sort of Poe all turned around, which is sort of clever, I thought, frankly.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate that. Yeah. I just wanted to say really quick, I thought about tonight, and I've been so occupied, unfortunately, that I've not been on these shows here with all of you. So I said I'd bring a treat at least and call in a bit for tonight. And I knew that Halloween is the season of terror, so why not this piece here to spook a little bit there? Give the creepers cheapers, I would say.
it's an absolute charm that you're here tonight with us, Frank. We love having you on. So thank you very much for joining us.
Now,
Hatter, what do you think?
Oh, this got my mind going all sorts of ways. Now he wrote Telltale Heart, right?
Yes.
Also. Okay, so I didn't know there was a. Is it? It's a short story, or is it?
Yes.
One of the.
Yes.
Okay.
You see that video?
I didn't know the
if you click
burial?
Onto the video, yeah. If you click onto that video there, it's a rating there. If you click on the video, you will hear the rating of the short story there.
Okay. Cool. I didn't know there was one, a premature burial. Maybe somebody had mentioned it, and I just thought it was Telltale Heart, being that you could hear the beating of the... Anyway, I had it wrong. So. I was wrong before. So how you been, Frank?
No, it's okay.
We missed you.
I wish I could be on there more, my friends. I'm just so occupied doing demos lately, so I haven't been able to be on shows as much, or nor doing as many SoundClouds because of this little thing that I'm doing at the moment. And right now I'm doing gigs as well with Halloween, October. I'm scaring the jeepers of the youngers. I would say the children there. all in good taste, of course. All in good taste with performances, of course.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice.
And Francine.
Well, I was scared from the beginning to the end. I was very happy that the rain saved you. Because I said, I'm going to have a nightmare tonight about being buried alive. It really got me going. From the beginning of the poem, when he said, I'm in the casket and I was buried. Oh, man. You know, as a kid, I remember going to the movies and seeing somebody buried alive. And I remember this. So my father would say it to me, but it's fake. It's a movie. But it just impressed me
so
terribly. Yeah, that really impressed me. But
don't worry.
But that's what this was bringing back memories of. I said, oh, no, not again.
It's only academic.
It's perfect.
It's only,
I loved it. The wording, again, is beautiful. I mean, I really, beside the fact that we're laughing and having fun, the literary genius in this is really wonderful. Just to reread a couple of the sentences. Upon a somber day of mist that I shall never forget its true terror, I had awakened to discover my body in a casket of pitch darkness, all alone with no way to escape. I mean, the imagery right there, that did it for me. I was gone the rest of the poem. Just, you know, minutes. And agonist minutes had started to become evaporating seconds, and I was covering in the melting moisture of my profound sweat. I said, man, I would be sweating too. But I loved every word of this. It was wonderful. And a perfect thing for Halloween, perfectly timed.
Anyway, I appreciate that, and I would recommend everyone to get a chance to see Poe, read Poe. One thing, and he's my mentor, I've always said, but the one thing I've always appreciated about Poe is his psychological aspect of writing. You know, it's easy to write about monsters and that, but when you write about things of psychology, this is the worst type of war, or actually the worst type of war, and the one that I prefer writing. So I would hope that most of us do read more of Edgar Allan Poe. He's really a fantastic, or he was a fantastic writer, and he's still considered one of my mentors, I would say. I am
right.
One of, actually, what's the word? Yeah, mentors.
Right on.
Right there. Right, my friends, I'm not going to take up more of the show. I know you've got more poems out there, but I just want to say thank you for playing the song Cloud in the poem, and I had a good time there, you know, and hopefully I can join you all again soon. And do enjoy the rest of the show, and hope, I don't know if in Australia there is Halloween over there. Perhaps there is, perhaps there's not, I'm not sure. But enjoy your Halloween if you're in the States, or if not, and the rest who are in the States, do enjoy Halloween.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful having you.
Can you hang out for one more, because I played this just for you.
All right, go ahead.
So I threw mine up there already.
Go ahead. I'll stay for your poem. Go ahead. I can stay for your poem.
It's not too long. Little monsters, and it goes like this. when darkness falls and you're all tucked in your cozy little bed, I hope you remember just exactly what I've said. There's monsters in your closet. There's beasts behind your door. And if you look underneath your bed, I'm sure you'll find some more. Be careful of the shadow people. They're fiercer than the rest. And somewhere in your room, I know, is a shadow people nest. Now look up in the corners of the ceiling in your room. That's where you'll see the spiders being dazzled by the moon. Just outside your window creeps a horrid kind of ghost. You better keep aware because he's scarier than most. He likes to pinch and poke you and stick things in your ears and find out things that scare you, then terrorize your fears. And just about the time you think that nothing could get worse, the boogeyman shows up and on you puts a curse. The boogeyman is very old, how old nobody knows. He's sneaky and he's vicious and he smells like dirty toes. Be careful if you meet him. He's very, very rude and has a really very bad and nasty attitude. Just don't let the boogeyman catch you unaware. He'll drag you from your bedroom and take you to his lair. But enough about the boogeyman. We have other things to do, like cleaning out the monsters hiding out in your bedroom. The most important thing you'll need is courage and a lot. You'll also need the strength to give it all you've got. The last thing you'll be needing is a very pointy stick and a spell that makes the monsters really very, very sick. What you do is point your stick and jab it at their eyes and say these words I tell you. They'll think they're going to die. Now listen well to what I say. You have to say it right. One missed word can cause you harm and fill your heart with fright. Monstrum inferni seculum is what you need to say. Then redire libare, they'll send them on their way. That is all to cleanse your room. I hope you do it right. One mistake will bring you back another scary night. I hope you heed my warnings and remember what I've said. I hate to come back in 3 days and find out that you're dead. In peace.
Ooh, another scary one.
Frank, did you want to say a few words before you disappear?
Yes. First of all, that's a wonderful rendition there. You know, it's not easy to do poems of any nature, in particular narratives, and have rhyme into it. You know, sometimes it becomes a bit disjointed, but in your case, you always have a fantastic or magnificent manner of being able to narrate and recite your poetry. I have to say that this is just one of these types of poems where you wonder at night whether or not there is, you know, certainly as children, we've always thought about what's under our beds. And you know, this perhaps is going to be a queer analogy, or shall I say strange. You know? I don't want to misinterpret that word, but to me it means strange. There are times where I've actually felt perhaps the presence of, you know, when I barefoot in the bed there, I do feel perhaps like some tickling sensation after midnight. I'm not sure if that's just a tale of mine, but or it's just on the margin so late at the hour. But it does make you think about, you know, the factor of what I said before, psychology, and how, you know, monsters in itself, right. You know, although for the most part are not existential, but they are in our minds. And we sometimes believe that they're, you know, whether or not they're in the wardrobe, they're in under the bed, or they're somewhere right. around. But we have a fear, you know. Let's not forget that for the most part, monsters are our own creation. You know, we let ourselves roll into that fear factor there. But you did a fantastic job in that. I'm grateful for that. You asked me to stay.
Thank you,
and,
Frank.
I thought this was a great poem to before I go. I mean, the boogeyman is always one that I've written about, and I've always thought about. So perhaps you scared the jeepers out of me. So well
they had to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that, you know, they've been there. I think ever since the first man, I think he's had a monster around somewhere. So we've always, you know, envisioned
right.
ourselves, you know, creating monsters. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes the worst monster is ourselves, you know. Sometimes the mankind or humanity or the, you know, the human race in itself is the worst of all monsters, because we do more destruction on this earth than others.
You know, I remember asking kids to draw Frankenstein, draw vampire, blah, 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 Dracula. But you ask them to draw the boogeyman, every one of those kids will have a different picture of what the boogeyman is.
Yeah.
Sort of interesting.
Yeah, I grew up as well with what was called the Cuckoo Man, which is if you know much about Spanish lore, this was very, very much prevalent throughout Spain and Portugal as well. So, religions, they're bound to live on. You know, they don't fade out. We keep them alive. But I'm not going to take more of the time, and if I didn't have to get up in the early morning, I'd stay up more. But we do enjoy the rest of the show there. And AP, once more, thank you for playing the Sound Club. Take care, my friends.
Not at all.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
Thanks for coming, Frank.
Yeah. You're welcome. And you guys, all of you, take care. Do take care. Sincerely, take care.
You too.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
AP, did you want to comment on my poem?
I do want to comment on your poem, Linda. I wanted to say that I thought that this was a classic Liquid Damage poem. You have a beautiful internal rhythm that when you write and get into a rhythm, and it's very similar to a 14er syllable type length, about 15, 16 syllables that you use, Linda. And I think it's really neat because you curl it in on itself and you use those syllables so carefully. And so I just want to say to Kevin, you're wrong. End comment.
Kevin.
Heather.
Yeah. Yeah, Little Monsters, another children's book. And your rhyme is just spot on. It's very non-limerical, but you're able to remember it like a limerick, if that makes any sense at all. Your storyline's always solid. You complete the story. It's always got a lesson, it seems. Like the kid, what was the kid named Hate?
Oh.
But you had to love him just the same.
Ogre? Yeah, the ogre was named Hate.
Yeah, those are very, very inspiring, very witty. Definitely.
Thank you.
A chosen collection. Yeah, you need somebody to sketch some big art so you can put that in the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if two lines on a page and a picture, yeah.
Yeah, got to have the picture.
And then sell 3 or 4 million of them.
There you go. Thanks, Hatter. Francine.
Well, I just loved your poem, as I usually love all your poems. It was wonderful. I loved the little monsters and all of them, and I was getting scareder and scareder as the poem went on. But when it got to the end and you gave them a special little something to say, like a spell, I guess it would be called a spell, right? And if they say these words, then, you know, the monsters will all disappear. I said, now at least I can get rid of all these things now before I go to bed. But these are great poems for Halloween. I love them. I really do. I get scared just like the kids would. You know, I picture myself in bed lying there and looking at the ceiling for the spiders that are glowing in the light and the monsters outside the window and the ghosts. Oh, forget it. It's great. And your imagination is just wonderful.
Monstrous Inferni Seleclium? Is that actual Latin?
It's actually a Latin term. I think it means burn in hell, you icky monsters, or something like that.
Oh, wow. How did you get such a perfect terminology?
Very
good. Did you learn Latin?
No, I,
you knew Latin?
I translated it.
Oh, okay. That's really good.
On my translator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clever.
Oh, from what? Oh, so you wrote in Monsters, you wrote in, what did you write in to get this term? Monsters? You said you translated. You said you translated.
I think Bernie
Oh, you translated Hill. This. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, into the Latin. I translated Burning
yeah.
Hell, Mickey Monsters or something.
Clever.
Okay.
Cool.
Wonderful,
okay.
Linda. Linda, how was your book
Thank
coming?
Thank you, sweetheart.
Anything new with your book?
I'm selling my property, and I'll have some money to get my pirate book published. And then once I do
mm-hmm.
that, I'll do the poetry book. And
wonderful.
And I got a couple of poetry books in line. It's just the fact of getting them downloaded from here, and put in order, you know.
Mhm.
So.
Well, good luck with everything. Hope it all goes real quick and well for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I got to get illustrations and stuff. So, AP.
Yes.
Do you have something?
I put it up on the board, Linda. I'll read it now.
That would be great, AP.
Okay. This is from this morning, Linda, especially for you. This is Rifle
cool.
Shot.
Yeah, I don't see
like
it. Yeah, let me refresh.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
it.
Hold on. Don't read it yet.
I'm holding.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking.
I got it.
AP, I got you.
You got it? Perfect.
Rifle shot?
All right. This is rifle
is
shot.
Is that it? Okay, got it.
Yep, that's the one. And
okay.
It goes a little bit like this. Rifle shots by a heavy hand, circumstances due near. Hairs upon her neck stand, darkness reaching by piers. Seen a broad, wide set face arches from coat steers to her doorframe brace was a mouse, so silent here. Again, there is banging firm, and my son holding dear, this damn ubiquitous worm already have been there for years. Locked both into bathrooms, shower waters upon ears. Shadow past light consumes, consents his piercing eyes leer. And then thunderstorms begin, outside mutterings career. Car's engine to wheel spins as the motor in distance sears. Left as the silence does strain, but my instinct still clear. For how long till appears again, when those bills are in arrears. End poem.
Very cute.
Ooh.
This is very well done. I love the ending of this. Let as the silence does strain, but my instinct
I love
still
that part
clear.
Too.
For how long till appears again when those bills are in arrears? That's true, and I love the way you're hiding out and locked both into bathroom shower waters upon ears, shadow past light consumes, car senses his piercing eyes leer. That's so cute. The imagery in this is fantastic. I can see you in the shower with your son and peeking out behind the shower curtain because the bill collector's there. That's what I get from it anyway. You're being attacked by the bill collector. And but very cute, sweetheart. Very, very cute. Francine.
I think it's enjoyable from beginning to end. I have felt the same way you did, Linda, especially that last little paragraph I thought was fantastic. The last little stanza, I mean. But all throughout, to picture this person coming to collect or to do something, I wasn't sure if it was a bill collector until the end, but I knew somebody was coming to cause some kind of stress or something. And they had to hide from him. And I pictured him in the shower with his son, hiding behind the curtain and peeking out, just like he was saying, to see what was going on. And they put the shower water on so they didn't have to hear him. Oh, that was very cute. And the imagery is really fantastic. Really is. And the ending was perfect. I loved it. Left it to silence those strains, but my instincts still clear for how long till it appears again when those bills are in arrears. It's perfect. And then I said, oh, so that's what it is. Okay.
Right.
I didn't know it was a book collector, but I knew it was somebody that was coming to do some harm. Very good one.
Good comment, Francine. Hatter.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, I like the way it ended. I like the way it ended also when he's at the thunderstorms begin outside muttering career. Like, what did I ever do this job? Car engines and gun, wheel spins. Yeah. At first I wasn't following it very well, what he was meaning.
Yeah, the beginning part's hard to follow.
Yeah, rifle shots by a heavy hand, circumstances drew near. Rifle shots, representations of knocking on the door. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. So I was just trying to set it up so the ending was better because it was confused a bit about what it started with. So.
Well, yeah, well done. Well done, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, you know, I remember writing one. I think it was my landlord was knocking. I think I wrote one of it like that. Like, I'm having a bad day, man.
Yep. Yep. So, Liquid Damage, we've only got one left, and that's Deborah Lee's poem.
Okay.
Which I'm happy to read, if you like, because she I talked to her earlier and she said she wouldn't be around. So if you're happy for me to read it, I'm happy to read it for her.
Okay. Let me get down there.
A minute.
Okay, I got it.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Righto. So this is by Deborah Lee. Do not thaw me. It aches bone deep to block you out. And it goes a little bit like this. Weeping yesterday into a puddle, weightlifting the blues. Blues tied to the trails from whispers spreading back to the fuse, igniting the throb vibrations as the pulse thumps the cues. Now to lock out this pound from ache encasing the beating muscle in me, stacking the mortared ice blockade, building walls you cannot see, like the Eskimo igloo with no door or windows to flee. But the frosted bricks melt, thawed by the picture in my brains, the picture that shows me you, and sends this pulse barreling like the freight trains, racing down the rails as the hourglass spout spills sand grains. With the blockade oozing neath my shoes, you step through the barriers to find me, and it aches bone deep to block you out by its time to erect the glacial walls you'll see, like icebergs towering on the banks of the sea, posted with placards marked, "Do not thaw me." In poem.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. She is depicted pain, heart pain, heartache in an unusual way. And the rhyming in this is very good as well. But I like how she used the metaphor like the Eskimo igloo with no door or windows to flee. That's pretty cool. And Deborah, you get better all the time, but there's just a new one 23 days ago. Yeah. Really, really, really good poem. Weeping yesterday into a puddle, weightlifting the blues. That's a stellar line. Very cool. And the imagery in this is good as well. And it was just cold. The feeling was cold. And I really liked it. It was sad. It was sad. But I just love the way that she depicted that pain that you get when you just have had enough of somebody. And it aches bone deep to block you out. But it's time to erect the glacier walls you see, like icebergs towering the banks of the sea. Posted the placards marked, "Do not thaw me." That is just beautifully said. Deborah Lee, I loved your poem, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it with us tonight. Francine, what did you think?
I loved her expressions. I liked the beginning of it, weeping yesterday into a puddle. I mean, the imagery right there is beautiful. Weightlifting the blues, another beautiful line. But I like the way she describes the feelings of her body, like when she says, where is it? Encasing the beating muscle in me, stacking the mortared ice blockade. She's talking about her heart. And it's just, it looks like the picture, like the ice is surrounding her heart, and it's just making it like frozen and building walls that you cannot see. And it's just perfect. And then the frosted bricks melt, thawed by the pictures in my brains, the picture that shows me you. So her brain is bringing her memories that makes her like very sad, longing, wanting. And then, you know, it's just the way she describes what's happening to her throughout the whole poem. But she does it in such beautiful language that, and pictures, it's just put pictures in your head. Wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Very well done.
Great comment, Francine. I'm sure Deborah Lee would appreciate it. Hatter.
Yeah, that's Deborah's getting so good at the visual, using words to visualize with, you know, to paint the picture inside your head. Looking at the picture, now is the heart melting the ice, or is the ice making a heart cold?
Yeah, that was the way I took it.
The heart's becoming cold. Yeah. What about you, Linda?
I think it got frozen, the heart.
See the water melting, but I think it's a little of both. The heart is cold, but it can't stay that way. It's going to melt.
That's true.
At some point, you'll have to refreeze it or just
both be the same. Sometimes they'll both be the same temperature.
Yeah.
Half glass full.
Great picture.
Yeah, I see it as the ice chilling the heart.
Cool.
Because you're going to catch a cold with the ice inside your soul.
Right.
That's the Jar of Hearts, the lyrics to Jar of Hearts.
Right. Beautiful. Now, I love the title. Do not saw me, it aches bone deep to block you out.
I like that a lot.
Great title. Yeah.
Yeah, it always makes me laugh when something like that, because it reminds me of Sylvester the Cat, or I saw a pretty cat. No? Did I break it?
But I think yeah, so,
no, you didn't break it.
break what?
I just wanted to tell you thank you for commenting. And AP.
Well, it did remind me a little bit of that song from years ago. Remember Cold as Ice? Great, great song.
Cold as Ice. Yeah.
By Foreigner. Yeah.
I remember that one.
But I did want to note that as of a couple of hours ago, if you look on the right side of the poem there, you'll see that Deb has actually managed to get 1,000 poems with a 10 scored by AutoRank, which must be some sort of record somewhere. Because
she got 1,000 poems scored 10. I think I have 10 poems scored 10.
Yeah, she's got 1,000 that have scored 10.
Wow.
Which is a remarkable number. In anybody's language and lingo. And so it's quite an incredible effort. So very, very well done on that. I love the poem and I love the that sense of ice and cold and the rhythm that went through it. But I particularly liked that you interspersed Eskimos, igloos and freight trains. I thought it was really cute. So very well done, Deb, all around.
Yeah. Wasn't that Pat Benatar, Cold as Ice?
I think it was Foreigner. Yeah. Pat Benatar, probably. But I think it was Foreigner.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
so,
Lou
too.
Graham, Foreigner.
Foreigner, right?
It was what?
Yeah.
Foreigner. The group.
Yeah, the group.
Oh,
Lou Graham is the singer.
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go. Willing to sacrifice my love.
That's it.
That's the one.
Okay. Well, I want to take this time to thank everybody who showed up tonight. AP, thank you for your help as always. You're wonderful. Hatter, you as well. Thank you very much. Francine, thank you for supporting. And Frank, we loved having you here tonight. What a joy. Phil. Deb, and I think that's it. Thank you all for being a part of my show and supporting. We'll build it up week by week, hopefully, and have more people next time. But thank you all for coming.
Well, thanks for having the show.
Thank you. Liquid Damage, and I was going to play it
out. Did you hear the joke?
Oh,
yeah,
first.
Okay. Yeah, I got a joke. Did you hear the joke about the roof?
The roof?
I would tell you, but it tends to go over people's heads.
That's cute. Well,
that is cute.
Why don't polar bears get married?
They're too cold.
Close.
I don't know.
They have cold feet.
Frosty.
Oh, there you go.
What's the dog's favorite dinosaur movie?
Barkosaurus?
Would the dog do with the dinosaur movie? Buried the bones?
What's the dog's favorite dinosaur? Jurassic Bark. I like you like I like my coffee. A latte.
Oh, that's
a lot. Let me see. Oh, why are fish easy to weigh?
They've got scales.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
Yay!
And let's see. How did the panda bear open her Mother's Day card?
Let's see.
Something about black and white?
No. With her bare hands.
Oh man.
What did one firefly say to the other?
Something about being bright, too bright?
No.
Don't burn me.
Ready? Gotta glow now.
Gotta go.
Are we ready?
Are we ready? Did you want me to play the end music, Liquid
yes.
Damage?
Please.
Here we go.
Well, good night, everybody.
And thank you.
Night, everybody.
Good night, Francine.
Take care. Nighty night.
Here we go.
You guys.
Bye, Adam.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take.
Bye, everybody.